Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. The time is now. Oh, yes. The time is now. 6:03 p.m. on the East Coast, 3:03 p.m. on the West Coast, and 11:03 in London, England. Yes, I have to throw that in there because we do broadcast on the World Wide Web. Welcome to the TMTS. This is the Michael Gay Show. I'm your host, Michael Gay, broadcasting from the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. And want to thank you for tuning in, if you're listening in. Remember, oh, by the way, I have to open up the chat room. Just want to let you know you can call in to the show. If you have any questions or comments, go ahead and hit the number one. I'll open up the mic. Let me open up this chat room because we do have a lot of folks that don't really like to talk. You know, they'd rather post. So let me welcome them to the show and let them chime in via text. Okay? So I'm doing that now. Welcome to TMGS, Broadcasting Live. All right, so we got the chat room open. Happy Saturday to you once again, and we have a few topics. I want to go over a little bit of the war in Ukraine and Russia and the sinking of a ship, one of Russia's most pride and joys when it comes to the military. I mean, any country that has ships such as the United States, such as Russia, such as China, any major power country, for lack of a better term, or a country like those, and have one of their, which I think this is their second largest ship, most popular ship, to sink. Now, Russia says that it wasn't the way Ukraine is saying it happened. Russia says a fire started, and that's all it was, that Ukraine had nothing to do with it. Ukraine says that, well, yeah, we did. We struck it, you know. So then you kind of wonder, how does that make Vladimir Putin feel? Because according to the reports from the beginning of this war up until now, that this was supposed to have been a short war, and now it's become a long, drawn-out war. Got to give Ukraine some credit. They are definitely fighting very hard, pretty much like, you know, in Afghanistan when Russia and the United States both went into those countries and didn't pretty much get the results that they were looking for. You know, Ukraine is a strong country, it seems. So, I don't know. Interesting. So I'm waiting to see how many of our co-hosts are going to be able to chime in today. And like I said, we have other topics we're going to talk about regarding not just that, but the Johnny Depp case, him and his ex-wife, former fiance. They got married, you know, like, what, after a year of dating. You know, we're going to get into that topic. We're going to get into the topic of a recent shooting in Michigan, I believe, in Michigan, where this individual, just a basic traffic stop, and got into a struggle with an officer and wound up dead. Then we're going to talk about the shooter in New York, which we're going to get to that momentarily, but I want to get back to the other one that we were talking about. Shooter in New York. Everybody was saying, oh, it's a terrorist. Well, at least they thought it was a few people. But then again, the cops were smart to not automatically jump to that. They were smart. So who is this guy? What made him do what he did? And then back to the Johnny Depp deal, the court, you know, they're both suing each other for slander, defamation of character. It ruined his career. These are millionaires, you guys, millionaires. And guess who's paying the court costs? Further ado, let me go ahead and open up the microphone of my co-host, one of the co-hosts here at the TMGS, Miss Janet Davis. How are you doing this beautiful, cloudy Saturday, Janet?
Yeah, I'm not too well. Cloudy, a lot of thunderstorms last night, and now I have gout in my big toe.
Oh, that's not a good feeling. Pretty sure that's not a good feeling.
Yeah.
You know what?
So,
no, go ahead.
I might end up falling asleep on you.
Well, you have to take that medication to feel better. I understand that. You know, my dad used to complain about it, and I never knew what gout meant. People think the word gout is like a disease. You know, I'm serious. You know, folks look at it, you got gout, like syphilis, AIDS, or whatever. No, gout is not a disease. It's a crazy-sounding word. But, I mean, when your feet and everything start hurting, that's the gout, you know. And it's not comfortable, because I have to admit I've experienced it myself. So it is definitely painful. It's like a sharp piercing. Mm-hmm. I don't want to make you suffer more by narrating what it feels like. But it is. It's truly painful. And it can strike anyone at any time. You don't know.
Yeah, you got to be careful. You have to be careful what you eat, and I ate a lot of fried chicken, and it triggered it. And I normally don't eat fried food that often. You know, I got greedy, and now I'm paying for it. But some people say it could be from rich food, chocolate, alcohol, beer. I don't know. I just know it comes from greasy food.
Well, I was told that it also comes from a lot of, I think it's not sugar, but salts. A lot of salty type foods, too. I think I read upon it, a lot of salty type foods that cause your joints to react the way that they do, which gives that type of pain. I'm not, you know, I'm not saying I'm an expert at it, but this is what I think I believe I read, that that actually has an effect. And as you said, it really does have a lot to do with your diet of what you eat that can fill you. And your body's not able to flush out certain things quickly enough to, you know, not let that happen. Your thoughts on this situation in this war with Russia and Ukraine. I mean, Ukraine has, according to what they say, they struck a major Russian ship. Russia denies that it was Ukraine that did it, that the ship had a fire on it, which caused the ammunition to discharge, which caused the hole in the ship, which caused it to start to sink, and it sunk. The United States is not confirming that, but they believe that's plausible. So what's your thoughts on it? Because the United States is not going to say, yeah, I mean, they're saying we believe it, but we're not going to say that's definitely what happened. Isn't that kind of crazy, though?
Well, what the thing that we have to look at, okay, they had all these ships on the coast, and after that ship got exploded and then they were trying to take it back over to Russia and it sank, they moved the other ships further off the coast. They're no longer standing there bombing like they were bombing before. So that's telling you something, you know. If it's safe because of a fire, why did they move all the other ships?
Well, yeah. That's a good question.
And Ukraine had just got those missiles delivered, and I actually believe when they said they hit the ship with missiles, I believe it. Because they just exploded something over in Russia before that, and then they hit another plant on the coast of Russia. Putin's been lying since day one. So I believe Ukraine, the President Zelensky over Putin any day.
Well, here's the thing, too, that I find interesting is that where no country wants to admit when they've been up one, you know what I mean? I mean, the United States is guilty of it because there's a lot of things that we were never told. We were told lies about a lot of stuff too. I mean, it's not where just China or Russia. I mean, truth be known, the United States have lied to its citizens too about certain things or exceptions. Throughout history, it's just the norm. That's just mankind. You don't want your public to know what's really going on, even with the coronavirus. You know, Donald Trump didn't want to, he said he didn't want to panic the American public, but it made it even worse in a sense of not being honest. So seeing that we're talking about a country that's a dictatorship, not a country that is based in democracy, I mean, you would expect Russia to say, well, no, that's not the truth, what Ukraine is saying or what the United States believe. But the sad part is that those people, and you know what, I mean, I've met some folks over the years and even, you know, today that are from European countries and Eastern countries and that have migrated here, and they have talked to me and told me that, you know, I love my home, but I don't like the leadership. I believe those are all lies, you know, it's propaganda. And I think it's good when you have a chance to talk to folks from those places because they're stuck. You know what I mean?
That's true.
If they speak out, they might get killed.
Well, they can't even say war. Anybody say war, anything that sounds like that, they get arrested over in Russia. And they have cut people completely. They've tried to cut people completely off from any outside information. So if he wasn't telling lies, or I don't think he would have been going through going through all these different things to try and keep the people from being aware of what's going on. And a lot of those soldiers, thought they were going on an exercise mission. They did not know they were going to war.
Oh, okay. I was not aware of that. I hadn't heard that part.
Yeah.
And then I've had seen videos, which we did discuss a couple of weeks ago. In fact, I don't want to change the topic, but I have to say thanks to Mr. Joe Levy, the amazing Joe Levy, the incomparable Mr. Lilo Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
The last week, Joe, that was great. We had some technical issues here and there, but fortunately, Denise L. Wilkerson of the legendary Ladies of Sky was able to make the show and everybody else. So I want to thank those two, or those three, and all the co-hosts and callers for last week's show. That was a lot of fun and everything. But
yes,
you
wonderful
know,
music.
Yeah, great music. And as I said to everyone at the time, make sure you follow up and check these cats out. They are awesome. They are still doing their thing. Well, Joe is pretty much newer to the game than Lilo is, but Lilo has some new material out. So I just wanted to throw that in there real quick. Thanks for last week's show, and we got more great guests coming up in the future. But back to the Russian situation, the scary part about it is that where this is a guy who can, you know, order an attack at any time. Unlike here in the United States, the president can say, hey, look, we need to do this and that and the other, and they have to go through, you know, Congress and this and the other for a declaration of war. It has to be approved. Where in other countries of dictatorship, it don't have to be. That one man can say, all right, we're going to go at it. That's scary. That's scary that...
The oligarchs are starting to feel the crunch, you know, because most of the oligarchs don't even live in Russia. They're all over the United States, the West, and Europe, and just all over the world, you know. So they got money hidden everywhere, and they thought they were going to be safe. But, you know, thankfully the sanctions, the things that the United States and Germany and different countries and Britain and everybody's been putting on the oligarchs and on Russia, it's been really starting to affect them. And the best thing that just happened recently was they decided to not accept any more fuel, oil. I think the
well, you said that they have money, that the oligarchs have money hidden everywhere. Not necessarily hidden. It's traceable. But what is that money doing?
Well, I mean, they got it. They got it where you don't know. Well, it's not hidden completely, but it's hidden. You know, because they go to great lengths to keep from having people know exactly where all this money is stashed. And I know Putin's controlling all of it.
But wouldn't you agree that a lot of this money is being used to make more money in some way or another? You know, when you say hidden, there's ways to invest money, you know, and if you got the right folks to do it the right way, wouldn't you think that some of this money, I'm not saying all of it, is being used for them to get interest off of, you know, through banks, through, you know, because the thing is, I don't trust every bank. Right. You remember back in the day, there was only a handful of banks, and now you got different types of banks everywhere.
Right. But
so
the thing that
who's to say that? No, go ahead.
What gets me, when I say hidden, I should have been more detailed about it. You know, you got people that's suffering, and this is a place of have and have not, and those who don't have. Really don't have, you know. And then you got all these other people who have the money living lavishly with gold-plated claw tubs and DeBays and, you know, they showed all their little toys this week on TV, and I thought that was ridiculous. A train trolley. I mean, so just money just Just wait.
I get it. I get it. But see, I'm going to play the devil's advocate on that because I get what you're saying. I truly get what you're saying because sometimes I look at, I mean, I see folks that buy stuff and I'm like, you know you shouldn't be buying this. You know, what is it worth? What can it really do for you in the long run? I know folks who buy stuff for their kids, and I'm like, why are you buying that kid another toy? They got tons of toys that they only get, you know, to play with or they are interested in for less than a day. It's that long. And now you're trying to buy their love or you're trying to entertain them with a new toy that they're going to just pay attention to for a short period of time. That's money that you're throwing away. But what I'm saying is this, that with adult toys, if you have the money, and a lot of folks will argue with you because I had a discussion, I won't say an argument, with an individual. Said, well, you know, I mean, they said, look, you know, this is what you work for. You should be able to spend what you want to. I shouldn't have to spend my money on someone who's homeless and this and the other. I shouldn't feel guilty of my income. I should be able to enjoy what I earned. And that's what some folks say. And I don't doubt them for that. But in my mind, I'm thinking, but are you really thinking it over? You know, what you're buying? Are you really thinking it over? I still find it interesting that people spend millions and millions of dollars on, you know, who can afford it, on artwork and this and the other. Now, granted, you hold on to it long enough, it may go up in cost. And what do? You pass it on to the other family member, you know. Okay, so you pass it on to them, and it goes up in value. But at some point, it's got to make some money. Do you sell it? Do you keep it? You know, I mean, what do? That's what's interesting to me. When you look at...
I guess that's the same as when people buy property and keep it in the family and pass it down through the generations, you know, part of the old money, you know.
Well, right.
Where a lot of people are... Pardon?
Here's the difference between owning land and owning a piece what's the word I'm looking for? There's a difference between owning land and there's a difference between owning a trinket or an article or piece.
Yeah,
or
it is.
Whatever. You know, because the land is going to bring you more money as you build on it or as there's buildings around it, right?
Mm-hmm.
You look at where, I mean, to me, the most profitable thing is land because people say we're running out of land. Not necessarily so. We're not running out of land. There's a lot of land out here. But then there's land that we don't want built on. We don't want anything built in our national forest. We don't want things built on, you know, our national monuments or let's say here in Georgia where you and I both live, the battlefields.
Mm-hmm.
Kennesaw Battlefield. The acres and acres and acres of land there,
That's right.
Yep. Oh, my God. It's amazing where you have maybe 20 acres of land, and there's a sign that says, this is a national monument from a Civil War, where an individual who was a Civil War a Southern fighter lived in this house. The house doesn't even stand there or live on these grounds. The house don't even exist. But here's the site where so-and-so lived, okay? And it's...
Well, they do have some shacks still up, though, around Kennesaw.
Oh, yeah, true enough. Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying that they don't, but let's look at there's some where there's the houses don't even exist. But those are eggs.
Right.
Look at golf. Golf is a very popular sport throughout the world. And look at the acres of land. And I remember, who was it? George Carlin did a comic joke about the waste of golf.
Now, don't get me wrong for any of you golf fans. I'm not a golfer. I go to the putt-putt, or I used to go to the putt-putt, you know, and play in that little small area. But I've never gone onto a golf course and played golf, all right? But that's acres and acres of land. So you can't tell me there's no land to build. Just shrink the game like, you know, anything else. If football teams can coexist in the same stadium, golfers can coexist on the same course, right? You know.
No, there's different courses. That's part of the sport. It's just like basketball. They don't share one basketball court or one football field. You know, they have different.
Basketball. The Lakers and the Clippers share one arena.
How many? Just the Lakers and the Clippers.
The Lakers and the Clippers share one arena. In football, the Chargers and the Rams share one arena. That's just been in recent years. In fact, back years ago, the Jets and the Giants shared the same stadium. So it's not impossible. It's not impossible. It's been done. It's not impossible.
No, I'm saying one stadium for everything. I'm not talking about sharing a stadium. You know, you saying why I got to be all those golf courses. Well, they have different courses, just like they have different stadiums.
I understand different courses, but what I'm saying, Janet, is that where golf, if you look at the acreage of land, and I'm just going to go back to what initially when we were talking about property and land, there's a lot of land out here. There's a lot of land. But when you look at the fact that New York can't build out the city, they have to build up, right? Here in Georgia, as you well see, they're building out, but at some point, especially downtown, they have to build up, all right? Now, the state of Georgia is a huge state, a lot of land, and which I shared before. When I moved into the house that I lived in, which I left about 6-7 months ago, there was tons of land right across the street. They cleared that shit out and built 100 houses in no time at all. So, you know, what I'm just saying in general, land is more important than, you know, a car or a pair of shoes or whatever. What I'm saying, whatever you invest into. Invest into land, because land is always going to be needed. More so investing into something that's not going to gain value. You understand
right.
My point?
And,
okay.
Well, yeah. What I was saying was, as far as the land, part of old money, they pass it down through the generations, a lot of people, instead of people trying to get a house, can't keep it because of high interest rate or whatever, end up losing it.
Well, here's the problem in the black communities, though, is that where, you know, the sad part is that where, not saying all, so I don't want anybody listening saying that every black community is this way, but here's the sad part about it. You got family members who are like, okay, when mama and daddy die, I don't know who they gonna leave the house to. That's true. They don't. And they're wondering who mama and daddy gonna leave the house to, who they gonna leave the cars to, who they gonna leave their jewelry to, and this and that. They're thinking about material things. That's the word I'm looking at, material things. The land is more important than the material things, to be honest. But unfortunately, and I'm not going to say just in our community, but I will say more so, there's a beef. There's an argument of who deserves what. Instead of getting together and saying, hey, look, let's make this work together for generational wealth. Because if mama owned this land, and let's say mama owns 5 acres of land, or even an acre of land, y'all keep it up. Somebody says it to it. But make an agreement and a pact, because the majority of black folks don't realize, or if you pay attention, a lot of times, and I've seen this over the years,
And you know for a fact, I watched the city of Woodstock when I came here from California. I watched the city, the town. It wasn't a city. It was a town of Woodstock. Had one freaking street light. One street light, Jimmy.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. They got so much shit up there. And when I first came here, I worked on the first mall up there. The only thing within miles was a Texaco gas station.
Yep.
A gas station.
Yeah.
Interstate.
Area,
I won't say highway, but hold on.
Area was a gravel road.
Was a gravel road, nothing but trees. But Interstate 575, when we would get off work and drive home, we were the only car on the damn interstate.
Yeah.
I ain't lying. Because it hadn't opened up to Interstate 75 yet. So we were the only car on the road. You could get on it. But now that is the busiest damn interstate, one of the busiest.
Mm-hmm.
Town Lake, oh my God. Car dealerships, restaurants, strip malls and everything. And I worked on the first mall.
Mm-hmm.
Town Center Mall. The first sign that they had up there was Macy's. They took that sign. It wasn't Macy's. It was a Davison's. Davison's. That was
right,
supposed to be the name.
But Town Center Mall is Kennesaw, Woodstock, and Cherokee County is
connected.
Outlet stores. They got the designer outlet mall.
But look at all that land, right? But let's look at all that land that was up there. And what do these corporations do? They bought that land. Someone owned that land before these corporations came in and bought it.
Someone owned that land.
And here's the sad part is that, unfortunately, if you're not smart, if you don't do your investigation, and I won't say on land, but on homes, you know, they're where they will take you to court and say, okay, what's the term that they use when they want to take it? You know what I'm talking about.
I forgot what it's called, but you don't have any rights. They can easily take your part of your land or your land from you and force you to move. Because they say you own a house, but you really don't own the land that's on that the house is on, because you have
actually, you own the house, but you're not taking care of it. Let's say you don't live in it, but you own. Let's say you own the property, and the house is becoming dilapidated, right? So now they want that property, and they're going to get you by any means possible to take your land, because
but
you're not taking care
not,
of the house.
They force you to move, Michael. When they want to build something, they will force you. I've seen them on Highway 92 take a lot of land from people because all those houses sat way back off the road. Now they're right up on the road because they expanded the highway and made it like four lanes on one side, four on the other in some areas, you know. But I remember when Highway 92 was just one lane one way and one lane the other way.
Well, yeah. Well, they're doing that on I-20 here. They're expanding that. I-20 going south, they're doing that. They're taking folks' property. But, you know, they have the right-of-way. I think it's 18 or something like that. I have to look that up, of how much of your land they can actually take in order to expand the road. You know, and if you remember, I can't remember the family's name up in Woodstock on Arnold Mill Road, where the Johnsons, across the street from the Johnsons. I forgot his name. He used to ride all the motorcycles. He built a house, okay, and he built a house in front of his house because he had the land. His house came up, his new house in front of the old house, came up a good distance from the road. But when
Cherokee County decided to widen Arnold Mill Road, hell, you could damn near ring his doorbell when you're driving down Arnold Mill Road. That's how much of the road they took.
Oh, you're talking Arnold Mill.
Yeah. I mean, he wasn't thinking. He didn't do his investigation of where, hey, look, ma'am, they can come all the way to this point. Do you realize that the road will be right at the, almost at the front step of your front door?
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't do any research of what they can do.
Right.
You know.
And a lot of people moved from Arnold Mill because of that, when they widened the road.
Right. And you have to remember, mm-hmm. when you have property on those type of roads, those are access roads, actually. Because people, when you start seeing so much traffic and it's backed up traffic, don't try to build on it, because eventually your county is going to widen that road because they know we have to make it more accessible to the public. They don't care about you and your land and your property. Hey, look, we can go ahead and take that. That's not a problem. We'll just take that land. They can't beat us in court. They got more lawyers than you do, and they got more money. You can sit up there and spend all the money that you spend trying to fight them. You will lose 9 times out of 10, if not 10 times. You will lose because it's allegedly for the betterment of the citizens of that county. Don't even attempt to try to build something on a street or a road that has potential to be widened. Don't do it.
Right.
But going back to this whole thing, like I said, when I thought about how Woodstock was and what we initially were talking about, investing into property, hey, look, it's sad because I know some folks that are going through some things and some arguments. I've known it for a while about property. But the thing is that where it's generational wealth you want to have, and no matter what it is, you can't take it with you when you die, okay? Let's face that one thing. Now, Lakeisha might want it to give to her kids. Kamisha, her twin sister, might want it to give to her kids. But whatever. But keep it in the family. Get your own and keep it in the family, because you never know. Because just like I just said, when a business wants to widen the road, they might eventually want to get rid of those houses and build property or buildings or businesses and zone it for business. They're going to get it, trust me. If they have to zone it for business, which they did in downtown Marietta, all those homes down there that were homes, they are now lawyers' offices, doctors' offices and everything, and they still look like houses. You wouldn't think they were houses if you didn't see the signs that said Robert and Johnson Law Firm. Damn, I thought someone lived in this damn house. Look at the damn plants out front. That shit look good.
Right. Michael, you know one your aunt that was on Arnold Mill?
My Aunt May,
yeah. And when, not her, the other one.
Oh, Aunt Mary. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Aunt Mary. Yeah. When people came to try and buy the houses up, they wanted to hold out for a better offer. And they thought they was going to wait and get some extravagant deal. They ended up building around that.
Yeah, they did.
At first. And so then when the son, I think, decided to actually sell, he didn't probably get as much as they offered him the first time when they came through and said, you know, but your aunt.
That's my cousin. That was my cousin, Nikki. Yeah, he held out, right.
But your dude and your aunt Lily Mae, when they said, can I get this little plot? You couldn't even really put a house on it. She sold it for almost over $1 million.
Yep, she sure did.
And then they sold their land, part of their land, for over $2 million.
$2 million,
so they were making a killing off of selling some land that they used to just farm on.
That's all they did. Yeah, they sure did. They sure did. They had those old apartments back there in the back. They used to farm
mm-hmm.
on it. They had those. In fact, I thought those apartments, I think they had no more than 10 units. And then the one on the right, my grandmother
right.
used to stay with. Mother Minnie.
That's right.
Used to stay with one on the right. But they sold all that. Now it's a big apartment complex. But thank God they
yeah.
still have a street name after them, which is Bramley Drive, you know. But, you know, I mean, that's what I'm talking about, is that where generational wealth is, like, white folks have been doing it for years.
Yeah.
They pass it on. But we don't do that. And that's the sad mm-hmm. thing about it. You know, we waiting on to see when mama going to die, daddy going to die, who's going to have this and that and the other. It's not about who's going to have it. How are we going to keep it in the family? How do we look, you know, because you know what? I've said this before, and we have to move on to the other topics. I've said this before. You can go to your, like here in Georgia, I think in most states, you can go to your county, and I'm trying to think of the name of it, but there's a certain office where you can see what they call the master plan, right? Their
mm-hmm.
their ideas of building in the future. They already know what they want to do. They
mm-hmm.
already have the blueprints on it. And it will show you if they're considering, well, maybe we will build this way. Well, you know, all these homes here and these people here, we'll make them an offer they can't refuse. And if they do, we'll work it out. In fact, I know a lady who was on the news here a while back when here in Marietta they were going to look at buying her out. And she said, no, you're not going to give me this type of money. You got to give me more.
That.
She was on the news. She said, I've been here all my life. Over 40 years, they ain't going to give me no nickels and dimes. And she wanted. They gave her what she wanted. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And she went and bought a home within her means and put the rest in her bank account. And when I talked
Thank
to her,
you.
She said, says, look, I'm too old to buy no big old mansion or thing. I bought something that's suitable for me, for, you know, where I want to travel. I don't want no big old house. I want a small house.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, and the rest of the money, I put in an account.
Right.
Now, I'm thinking, she's thinking where she can let that money sit there or invest whatever she wants to do, and thinking in a sense of generational wealth, because she will pass it on to maybe her kids
yeah.
or her grandkids. But she's not trying to spend that money going on tons of vacations and buying a new car and driving around burning up gas and all that type of crap, which is not profitable.
That's right. But you find out people that do that also.
Mm-hmm.
And then you find people who really don't have that much. When someone dies, people start taking, like you said, jewelry, pictures, things that, you know, instead of saying, okay, well, we're going to make copies of some of this stuff so everybody can at least be able to have some kind of remembrance of this person. No, people come in and clean the house out. Older people don't believe in banks. They have money stuffed everywhere. They have certain people come in that know that money is there and won't let nobody in there until they finish cleaning everything out. Then they let you in.
Well,
and
I
think that's wrong. I think that's wrong.
I think it's wrong that, you know, hold on a minute, but you know, you're right, that happens. Look, there are photos of, there's photos of my mom with the legendary Lionel Hampton, okay? Lionel Hampton and his wife and my mom and my stepdad were great friends. You know why? Because they lived in the same building. It was the Hampton Manor in Los Angeles. And some great black and white shots of it. Now, I'm not upset with my family about it because they have these photos. But it would be nice to share those things, make a
mm-hmm.
copy of it. I would love to share that with my grandkids because one of my granddaughters, she's in the music. And maybe later on down the road, she might want to look at it like, wow, I never knew who this guy was. But now that I've, you know, she might be taking a class in music theory, music history, and this and the other, and be like, wow, my great-grandmother was good friends mm-hmm. with him. You never know.
You never know.
I see a hand that's up. I'm going to open up this mic, and I do believe I know who this is. But happy Saturday to you, my sister. I'm going to open up your microphone, and we have to move on to our next topic. But hey there.
We went off the deep end.
Yeah, we did. 816915. Oh, that's timing, I believe.
Oh, we left timing all the time.
Wait a minute. 816915. I apologize. I mean, there's so many numbers that pop up on this board. Not everybody waves. Hold on. This has to be Cotton. No, it's not Cotton. 816 is a California number, though.
That's Lady Justice.
Your mic is open.
Oh, Lady Justice.
Lady
hey,
Justice
was
in. You don't call in that much now. You don't call in that much. Okay, so I haven't got that. You know, you don't call in that much, man. You don't got me on that one, Lady Justice.
That's okay.
But happy Saturday.
Yes, happy Saturday to you all.
You've been calling
in almost every Saturday. So by now, he should know your number. Uh-oh. I wasn't going to say nothing. You know,
Okay, I'm going to plead the fifth on this one, and I'm going to let you go ahead and chime in because I know you've been sitting there and you finally waved your hand there. What's your thoughts about family wealth? I won't say family wealth, but you know what I'm trying to say is
generational wealth.
Do you think that we're doing a good job or a bad job? Because in my experience, we're not doing a good job.
I think we're doing a bad job.
Thank you.
I'll tell you why, because I was in that situation when I came from California to Kansas City, and my grandmother was Nina Brown on the block, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Owned all the houses. She owned 3 or 4 or 5 houses on the block. But the minute she passed away, what do you think the family wanted to do?
Sell.
Yes, they wanted to sell the properties and move here. Half of them didn't live in Kansas City in the first place. But I had to remind everybody, now I was a baby, I had to remind them that the whole purpose of her property was for fallback, was for family to be able to go somewhere that they were familiar with and sit down and recollect their stuff, right? Get themselves back on track.
Mm-hmm.
I literally had to fight my family to keep a house that I'm sitting in right now.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that we're not doing a good job, and then the government will come in with their eminent domain.
That's the word.
That's what I'm trying to find, eminent domain, right.
Yep. If they want to come in and restructure something, and they'll say if they want to buy it because it's good for the use of the public, and we can build a store on it versus you being here paying your little taxes for your house, then they're going to offer you some money, and you're going to have to take it one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
So your family.
But now let me answer this: but when it came to okay, so you were saying that where. The house that you're in. Okay. And that belonged to who initially?
My grandmother.
Your grandmother. Okay. Now, how many years did your grandmother have this house
that you can recall? She bought this one, I want to say, probably in 93.
Since 93?
Wow.
Yeah, but she had 3 or 4 already. Like, she moved out of each one of that she bought and into the next one. And this is the biggest one that she had. I kept it.
Okay, so the rest of the homes, So the rest of the homes, are they still, I mean, does the family still own those homes, or did she sell those, or are they still under ownership through your family?
All of them were paid for, and all that was needed to keep them was taxes. But everybody thought, since I came from California, that I should be the one paying everybody's taxes to keep the house.
Oh, okay.
The one that was supposed to take care of everybody. No.
That's
the houses were free here, had no mortgage, and all you have to do is pay taxes. Here, the taxes may be a couple hundred dollars a year. You mean to tell me you can't set that high? That's worse than Section 8.
Wow.
No, wait a minute. Okay, so let me go back a minute.
Okay.
So you're telling me that your grandmother had about three or four properties that were paid for.
Correct.
Lock, stock, and barrel. And family members were living in these homes, and all they had to pay was maybe maximum $500 a year in property tax. No note, no nothing, but they didn't pay.
That's what I'm telling you.
Wow.
And then not only did they not pay, but then they'll go through them just like these people. You find these houses where the electricity is gone, the plumbing's removed. They did the same thing to these houses, the families.
Wow.
So when I got here, what did I have to do?
Okay, so who had outright ownership properties? You or
my grandmother?
Or the individual? No, I'm saying, but she was still alive, or she had passed?
She had passed in 2006.
Okay, so after she passed away, did she leave a will over to who would own the rest of the properties, is what I'm asking.
No, sir, that's enough. Reason why we're failing.
Because there was no will.
To fight their family members, right?
Right. But there was no will, so now the state wants to take over. Right. The state or the county wants to take over.
Or you have to designate a driver, so to speak. What do they call it? An executor over the estate?
Correct.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. But here, my thing is this. It should never have to come down to that. It should never have to come down to you giving up your right to do anything, which is basically what my family told me. You better make sure you pick the right side, because I'm going to be the executor over the estate. And it was my aunt, and I told my aunt, I said, well, if you can do it without my signature, I guess you can do it. But that's not what my mother wanted. She didn't want the property sold.
Wow.
You want it kept
and
within
so
the
family. I end up with one, and the other ones are gone. And somebody, as a matter of fact, there's the house that's right next door to me was purchased by a lady from Nigeria. And guess what she did? Nothing to the house. She gave it back to me.
Oh.
Yeah. Because I have three daughters.
She gave it to you?
She gave it to me.
Wow.
Okay.
Because she came here and started buying.
I need to get her address and phone number, see if she's given a house. But you know, I don't find that far-fetched, because people – now, see, that goes back to the thing where people who believe in doing the right thing, I'm just going to assume that she felt like the right thing was to give it back to the previous owner and give you the opportunity to keep it in your family. Am I right?
You are correct. Because I spent so much time making sure that house never got code violations. We cut the grass. We kept the house clean. Like, we kept it up, and it wasn't even ours. But because it was next door and nobody lived there, I didn't want to depreciate everybody's value on the block. So we kept it up.
Yeah, that makes a difference, yeah. You know, no, go ahead. I'm sorry.
She said, you know, you can just, you have three daughters. My oldest is 26, the middle one's 24, and I have a 10-year-old. You need to move your daughters over there, fix that house back up, and let them stay over there. And then now they only have to pay taxes. So give them a step up, right?
Well, that's wonderful.
Yeah, it is. You know, and this was not really the initial conversation that we had planned, but I'm glad because, as I said, and Janet, we always say we're that variety show, and sometimes, you know, we change gears in a different direction than our game plan. But I think it's very important when I hear other shows and even ourselves talk about generational wealth, to hear the stories is really important. And for people to hear what you just shared, Lady Justice, is interesting because I would have never thought about someone, you know, buying a house and knowing who the initial owner was and say, hey, look, I'm going to give this back to you, which what is the term called? You know, pay it forward. So I guess she paid it forward back to you. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
She reversed it in a sense. She didn't pay it forward. She reversed it, the whole process, which is interesting. And that's what I think that we need to pay attention to is of where, you know, we have to stop blaming the white man. You heard that many a times. Well, if it wasn't for the white man, I'd have this many. No, you had it right there in front of you. You just take advantage of it, and you didn't do your research. Because the white man is going to do what he knows best, is invest in the property. Property is the most precious thing right now. You could say it's diamonds and, you know, gold and this and the other, but land is so important now, and what you do with it is so important. You know, no matter where you are, because the geographical things change. Like Jen and I were saying, when you look at a town like Woodstock, when I came here in the 80s, it was one streetlight. And now it is a whole, it's a city. It's got high rises. It's got everything. Think about the people who owned that land prior or back when it was just one streetlight, how much money they may have if they kept their property and sold it at the right time. I'm not saying don't sell. I'm saying hold on to land that could be of greater value in the future. Don't just sell immediately just because, you know, well, grandma passed away, I'm going to sell it. No, hold on to it. If you only got to pay $500 a year on taxes, hell, you could collect enough aluminum cans in a year to pay the taxes at $500. I'm just being honest.
Right.
Aluminum's high, everything's high. You can do that because in the long run, land is always going to go up in value. It never goes down. Land never goes down. Houses might fluctuate, but land, it don't. Land always goes up.
Because there's always somebody out there willing to purchase it to do something different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you never know, as I said before, and Janet, correct me if I'm wrong, but there's, I'm trying to think the name of the office that you can go to here in Georgia, but they have what they call a master plan. I said it already once, but they have like a blueprint of the future of that county or that city. Trust and believe me when I tell you, they're cutting through your line. When they talk about doing a new road or a new highway, you think they just say it at the whim of where, hey, yesterday we just thought about we're going to cut in a new road. No, they planned that shit 10 years ago because they already know the congestion that's coming to that county or that area. They already know what they need to do, and they already have the game plan. They plan this shit 5-10 years in advance.
Right.
And your property might be within that whole situation. And if you know it in advance and they come to you, oh, my God, you could say, all right, this is what we're going to do. Here in Cobb County, there's a new subdivision going up and brand new homes. Some have already been built in the area. But there's this old house from 18-something that sits right there on the main road. And the owner that owns that house, they even offered to move the house for the owner, and she says no. Okay? Nobody lives in it. And it sits there. It is a historical site, but they offered to move it in order to make, as they say, progress go on. The owner said no. I know the lady that owned the shopping plaza that Home Depot was paying a lease to have their Home Depot there for over 20-something years. And then Home Depot brought the property like maybe less than a half a mile away. Janet, you know what I'm talking about here down here on East-West Connector. Home Depot brought
right.
a box of land and built a new store. The lady who owns the land where the shopping plaza is leased out the land now. The building that was Home Depot was destroyed. Now there's an L.A. Fitness there. The house that the woman lived in, which is right down the street, which was acres of land plus a putt-putt court, she sold that shit. And now a new community apartment thing is being built there. That's generational wealth being expanded. You follow me? Being expanded. She's expanding the wealth for her family, or her family is expanding their wealth. They will lease it. They will rent it. They will sell it. But they don't own just one thing. They own many things. I know a family that had land up in Woodstock where there was a McDonald's there, and they signed an agreement with McDonald's where they said, no, we're not going to sell it. We'll lease you the land. You could build your McDonald's here. They had an agreement for 50 years.
Yep.
Zero. You ain't got to sell every time. If they want it that bad, you can lease it. And you still own it.
And make money.
You're still getting a paycheck.
Yep.
But that's the sad thing that we don't look into. Unfortunately, in generational wealth, and unfortunately, there are some individuals in the black community that don't understand business or don't do the investigation of the options that they have. You can still own your property and make money off of it. You follow me? You can still pass on generational wealth and make money.
Right.
Okay. I'm sorry. We went way into a topic that we did not have scheduled, but I truly enjoyed it and I truly appreciate it because that's something we really need to always talk about, generational wealth. And I want to try to get some guests on. In fact, Lady Justice, I like what you just shared because that's very important, what you just shared with us about what went through with your family.
Right.
That's a learning process.
Hey, Michael.
Yeah.
It's just I looked it up. It could be a town planner, a urban planner, a city planner, but that's the office, that's what it is, where they have the plans, all the future plans for roads and everything.
Right. That's it. And they plan, they make these blueprints years in advance, but you have to keep up with what's going on. Otherwise, you'll be left by the wayside, as they say, and you might be in the direct target of where that planning or that road might be planned to go through and, not be aware of it and not be prepared for where they're going to give you an offer. And you can say no, but just look at the whole planning because then you see what else is going to be built around it. I mean, I'm going to change topics here, but just imagine if you saw them and they tell you, well, look, this is what we're going to do. We're going to build this road. We're going to widen this road, and then we want to make this an area for stores and shops and everything. You think your house is only worth X amount of thousands of dollars? and a new Starbucks is going to be right there on your property. You know how much money Starbucks makes? You know what I'm saying? Like, you have to see what the plan is in order to really understand what offer you're going to be given and what you want to accept. Don't take $50,000 when this business is going to move in here and make that in less than a week. Okay?
Right.
You know, Mike, one more thing. I guess I need to go check the planning office because I get sometimes about 10 calls a day wanting to buy my property because I can put probably three houses on it, and it drives you crazy. No matter how many times you say, no, I'm not selling, they still call. They still keep insisting. And so I actually think something is getting ready to happen over in my road.
Exactly. And that's how I brought that up and shared that, because they contact the planning office, look at, as I said, and I always call it, where they have a master plan that has already been in motion. They just haven't shared it with you. But if you investigate enough, you'll see it. It's open to the public.
Yeah.
It's open to you. They can't hide from you what they plan on doing in your community. They got the blueprint. And then you can say,
In Woodstock, they posted it on Main Street before they started doing the actual building and revamping.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Now it's like a little night spot for people because you got open carry where you can take a drink from one place to the other, walk around, get in your car, drive, and the police don't say a word. You know, and you don't find too many places like that where you can walk around with a beer in your hand or a glass of wine or alcoholic beverage.
Normally those type of things happen when there's certain events, like certain concert events.
This is all the time.
No, I'm saying, but I know that there are certain places. I've lived in Birmingham and everything. Whenever they would have, let's say they block off the streets for what they had. It was a weekend concert event that they used to have. You could walk down the street within that six block area. Where they used to have stages. It was called City Stages. Yeah, you could walk down the street with a beer or alcohol drink and everything during that time. But you're saying that where it's just a normal thing during the weekdays, or I'm sorry, the weekends, during the nightlife.
Anytime.
Well, you saw him, Janet, here, that the governor, you saw where the governor has signed the law where now you can carry a gun without a permit here in Georgia. So for you folks that are listening, if you move to Georgia, you can walk down the street with a gun on your hip without a permit. So now we're going back to the wild, wild west, in a sense. All right. We're at 7:09. I definitely want to get these certain topics that we did schedule to talk about, and I want to get you guys' opinions on this. You know, I love the way this happens sometimes. And, again, thanks to Lady Justice for chiming in. I hope she's still here.
Yep, I'm still here.
I want to go into the Brooklyn subway shooter, but I really want to look at something else here because we only have maybe 40 minutes. Let's go on to that real quick, just on a question. Did you really think when you heard this story, or if you did, Brooklyn subway shooter is now in custody, and we come to find out this was a black man. He didn't kill anybody. He injured a lot of folks. He's glad he's still alive, I'm pretty sure. Did you think this was when you heard the story, or better yet, did you hear about the shooting before you found out this was a black man? And what was your thoughts? Did you think it was another terrorist attack?
I didn't think it was a terrorist attack, but I thought it was somebody who didn't have any experience with a gun, because he shot everybody just about below the waist, and it was only like and he did 33 shots, and it hit 10 people, 9 or 10 people, you know. But you would think, I don't know, it was crazy when it first happened, because you didn't know exactly where the guy had went or anything, but he was sloppy. So it couldn't have been. I knew it wasn't a terrorist.
Well, sloppy at trying to make a killing, and not condoning killings for anybody. There. What do you mean by sloppy? No, and I do agree with what you're really saying. Is that, well, when I heard the story, I'm like, wait a minute, he shot 10 people plus, and none of them died. And the thing is that what amazed me is that the fact that, as you just said, not a point of sloppy, but did he really intend to kill anybody, or was he just trying to harm folks? Did he intentionally shoot in the manner that he did?
Well, I was told when he shot,
if you could have gone and shoot, I mean, you know what you're aiming at, right?
But I was told when you shoot, because of the gun he had, it would kick up. So when he shot, he was shooting down. And then, I guess from pulling the trigger, the jerk from it caused him to just, he wasn't really, there was no way he could have been shooting at a target.
Okay.
Because he was shooting people in the knees and the leg and the butt. He was just shooting.
Yeah.
With
but
all
if
those
shooting,
cans of smoke.
But if you're shooting, And there's a jerk reaction, it's going to jerk up, not down. So the thing is that where it kind of makes you wonder, for him to not hit any vital organs, because obviously no one died, I mean, what was his intent? I mean, was he shooting at the ground and it jerked up? Because you said, you know, when you shoot a gun or the type of gun, it will kick back. Still again, I don't think he really intended to hit anybody in the vital organs, per se.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't think so. Otherwise, someone would have died. And what is, and I mean, now this is what I would consider a mental health individual. I think this was a mental, because he did it in a manner, look at his plan. Look at the whole thing of the smoke and this and that and the other, and the fact he didn't kill anyone. It's mental health.
And he turned himself in.
Well, here's the thing also, is that where some folks might say, well, he doesn't have mental health if he planned and plotted. Look, there are some crazy-ass people that are smart. They're mentally ill how they're going to do their task. I've come to believe that. Even the mental ill are intelligent. All right? Look at all your mental ill individuals who raped and murdered their thing. They were mentally ill, but they were very smart about their crime. There's a difference. It's not about did they know what they were doing. No, they knew what they were doing. They were smart enough to know how to do it, just not intelligent enough or smart enough to know it was wrong. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a difference there. So they did arrest him. Thank God nobody died. And my prayers go out to all the injured individuals doing that. But I want to quickly go to this, because we do have 45 minutes. And then I want to go into this whole thing with Johnny Depp. As you all know who he is, he's an actor. He's played in many great movies. He's been part of the Disney franchise of the Pirates of the Caribbean for many years. In fact, he played in one of the recent Harry Potter films, I believe. and his girlfriend and wife, well, was girlfriend and became wife, Amber Heard, are now in court, started this week, over, which we're going to talk about this topic too, where he sued her over defamation of character. Now, that's interesting. I don't know if you guys have been following this trial. I have been. And I'm looking at Johnny Depp there in the courtroom, still got that long, stringy-ass hair. She's still looking like an actress and everything. Both of them, there's been, I mean, video and recordings and conversations and testimony of them both being very violent or physical towards each other. All right? According to Johnny, she made a comment in an article or in a paper, which he sued the paper. He lost that lawsuit. Okay. Now they're in court in Virginia, which none of the crimes or the allegations occurred at. All right. So to make the story short and sweet and get to the point, here are two millionaire actors. I don't know who the hell Amber Heard is, to be honest. I don't recall seeing her any of her movies. Maybe you have. I don't recall. I don't remember her. I know who Johnny Depp is, right? But he's suing because of the fact that look at where Disney fired him. He can't do any more movies with Disney's due to these allegations. The camp that he was working with when he was doing the Harry Potter, of which the character he played, which I'm going to watch that and see how well he played it in this and other, and everything. But now that character, as far as him playing it, can't come back. Allegedly, he has lost about $50 million in income. They're only married for a year. But think about this. Who's paying for this trial? It ain't them. Is this a waste of taxpayers' money over millionaires and courtrooms every day of the week? And shouldn't there be something, you know, where we shouldn't have to pay for this?
Why are you saying they're not paying for the trial? Sorry.
They're not paying. No, taxpayers are paying for this trial. The individuals the individuals who are battling it out are not paying for the trial. The taxpayers are. Now, in the outcome, because the thing is, neither one is found guilty or not guilty. And let me go back to this one thing. Amber is doing a counter lawsuit against Johnny Depp. Right? So the thing is that where no one is paying for anything. Johnny's paying for his lawyers. Amber's paying for hers. But when it comes to the court, the trial, the taxpayers are paying for it, not the individuals who are in court, the millionaires. Do you feel like that's fair?
Well, I gotta read to see if that's true, because I thought when you sue somebody for divorce or whatever, and you're in court, well, you say this is a defamation thing, so you know, but I thought whoever loses is the one that has to foot whatever that bill is and pay.
Okay, but in the meantime, what I'm saying is this: the judge is getting paid, right? Everybody in that courtroom has to get paid. All right, so anything that goes into a courtroom got to be paid until there is a verdict. Now, granted, you may be right that if hypothetically, let's say if John Depp loses it, the court will say, well, you have to pay the court costs. But in the meantime, somebody has to pay for the court calls now. Am I right?
Yeah, I guess unless they just have a tab until the end. I don't know.
Okay, so but still, and again, the public is still footing the bill, okay? And how much of the bill are they paying? That's a good question, footing the bill. When it comes to those type of cases, I'm just trying to understand is how is it where the public is having to foot the bill in these type of cases when there's going to be a winner or loser? The money has to still filter through the taxpayer's money. Court costs. Okay. So I don't know if at the end of this trial, if the judge will say you will have to pay all the court costs. I don't know that for a fact. There are some cases I've seen where I've never heard that said, where the defendant or the loser of the trial. And then I want to get into the conversation of defamation. But so far, from my understanding, the taxpayers are paying for this whole thing. But these are millionaires.
Well, I was just reading where it says that you have to pay the court filing fees and all the other things, especially if you lose. You know, the losing person is the one that has to put usually the bill, you know. So I, you know, they might be getting paid, but I'm quite sure they're going to get some of that money back.
Okay.
You don't go to court for free. You know, you got to pay, you got to do filing fees and all that, and they got to pay attorneys. So whoever, if he wins, she'll be responsible for paying
whatever
occurred, all the mm-hmm. things cost that occurred during the trial, fires, investigations, everything. Somebody got to pay that. I don't think the city puts all of that.
Well, I would hope not. But here's the thing that gets me. They're suing each other over defamation of character. Well, better yet, he is suing her. And then her point of view is same. But they're millionaires, you guys. They're millionaires. They're, okay, I'm not going to say there's never been a millionaire on this show, because I do know there's been a few individuals that wealth is over $1 million that's been on this show. Still, and again, in this situation, I mean, how come they couldn't just do an out-of-court settlement and not tie up the taxpayers' money is what I'm looking at, because there's so many cases behind schedule, you know what I mean, due to COVID and this, that, and the other. Why not just – how come they couldn't just come to a settlement and not make this a public spectacle? What do they gain? They're millionaires. I know everybody got quiet on me, but you understand my question and my point?
Well, no, I understand your question, but I know that and that also depends on where, I guess, you live, because usually each person pays their own fees. But if you're suing somebody for something, then and that person lose, then that one who lost is the one that's responsible.
Okay.
You know,
well,
I think if it's going through, huh?
Well, I just opened up Cotton Campbell's mic. 346-274. Is that you, Cotton?
Yay!
Yay! Hey.
Hey, Cotton.
Hey, everybody. I just wanted to make sure y'all knew I was here.
Okay. Well, I don't know if you tuned in at the last part of it, but we were talking about the, which we talked about a lot of things, but wish you were in on the conversation we had the earlier part as far as generational wealth. I'm sure you would have a lot to share on that. But we're always going to stay on that topic. But we're talking about this case with Johnny Depp and his former wife, Amanda, whatever. But anyway, I'm just joking. But when it comes to, well, I'm sorry, her name is Amanda Heard. But I was asking about the fact that when it comes to the community paying for the court costs, Janet said, once you lose the case, or if you lose the case, either one, you have to pay that all back. But my whole thing is that why do we have to see this whole drama of two millionaires go through and use the taxpayers' money for them to, how come they can't just come to an out-of-court settlement? Why are they going through all this? Or better yet, why would they, why is it even necessary? You follow me? You're suing each other for money, which that's what you have more of than we do, the taxpayers. Why does our money have to be involved into your, you know what I'm saying?
Do we know for a fact our money is being involved? That's the thing.
It has to be. It has to be. Yes. Because anything in a court of law is through, because the taxpayers pay for everything in court. Everything.
I'm going to look it up.
Well, everything that happens in a court of law comes through the taxpayers. It can't be an outside source. It has to go through.
Right, because their money's only paying for their lawyers. Their money's not paying for the rest of it. Because you got to look at it like this. The bailiff wouldn't have to be in the court, or the judge wouldn't have to be in the court if this wasn't happening right now.
Right. They have to be paid through taxpayers' dollars. So the thing is that where...
So I get that. I understand that.
As Janet was saying, is that when the final verdict comes up, and when the judge says you will be having to pay for all court costs, well, when he makes that comment, which we hear that many a times, meaning what? All court costs, meaning the judge's service, the bailiff's service, the security, or all that involved. That means everything. Fine, including the payment to the jury. And everything? Does it include all that? Does it include everything during this whole week? Because they already had 1 week of trial, and they're going into next week. Is the one who loses the case responsible to pay for all that? Is my question.
Well, it depends on how it's negotiated. Because during the divorce, it doesn't automatically mean the loser has to pay. If the petitioner says, I don't want to have to pay court costs, make them pay the court costs. Or a petitioner can say, well, we can split the court costs, but I want X, Y, and Z. So it's a negotiation.
Right, and that's true because, see, the thing is, and, I'm glad that you said that because, now, keep in mind, he's countersuing him. But, right, the petitioner can say, hey, look, I'm willing to pay the court costs due to the fact I believe that I will be found not guilty, and that what I'm saying is true, and so then I won't have to pay it, so then they'll have to pay it when they lose the case, right? That's how it works. It's a negotiation thing. So, but I still come back to my question, is that how much of the court cost falls on the community of millionaires? They're arguing with each other about one abusing the other one. Defamation of character is what this whole thing comes about. She made a comment in a article. He didn't like it. He filed against her because, as I said, he's lost like almost $50 million or so in movies. Y'all know him from the Disney character from the Pirates of the Caribbean, Jack Sparrow, and this and the other. Disney fired him. He's no longer part of that. He did the movie Harry Potter as a character in there, which that was about to go on. Other projects he was working on has been put to a stop, just like Will Smith. Other projects have been put to a stop due to what had occurred. I mean, this is interesting. Defamation of character. And I just threw in, okay, so how much does the public pay for millionaires? That's all I'm trying to understand. Is it reasonable? Is it understandable? All right, so if anyone don't have any response on that, no, go ahead.
Well, I was just looking it up, and it says, mm-hmm. in civil context, court costs are normally awarded to the prevailing party, meaning that the losing party must cover them. That's one of the federal rules of a civil procedure, and it allows exceptions to this general rule via statute or court order. That's why I had said, usually when it's all settled, whoever, you know, because it might be investigations and a lot of stuff that happens when you're taking somebody to court, especially when you're trying mm-hmm. to prove something. So the prevailing party normally has to come back and cover that. But when you're looking at divorce, and I guess it's a different rule for everything.
You said the prevailing
The prevailing party is the one they said.
Well, prevailing
meaning
what?
The losing party is the one that must cover the fee.
Okay, you said the prevailing, but the prevailing
States.
Party is not responsible, right? When you first said, you said the prevailing
party.
No, they
said the prevailing party. That means mm-hmm. the losing party must cover them.
The word prevailing, what does that mean
awarded,
to you?
Awarded to the prevailing party. That's why it says the losing party must cover it.
But you do understand
that's
what
why
I'm trying to understand.
The one who loses has to pay.
But you do understand what I'm saying when you use the term prevailing party, the way the words are done. Prevailing
said,
to me
yeah,
means.
But I said awarded to the prevailing party, meaning that the losing party must cover him. That's
right, right. Okay, and I understand it now. Because, see, you know, how the wording is, it kind of sounds crazy for a moment. And I'm like, whoa, wait a minute, the prevailing party, okay, does win the fact that the losing party will cover that. Okay. Anybody want to go ahead and reach to that whole thing? No. Nope?
But when it
comes
to family court and things like that, it's a little different, you know, because like I said, it's different circumstances.
Okay, so let's get into that because that's what I want to move forward to. Because as you guys may know, these are millionaires that are suing each other over defamation of character. All right. They can afford lawyers. They can afford to go to court and battle over their careers, which that's what Johnny Depp is trying to do against his ex-wife. But have you ever been in a situation that you felt like someone was defaming you or being to where you felt like you should go to court and sue them? Whether it's been on a date or anything, okay?
Yeah.
And, okay, so, Janet, hold your thought. I heard someone, because I know you already told me, Janet, but I still want you to share, but has any of you ever been in that situation? No, I want Janet to share it, because I heard it, but I want her to share it with you guys, but I want to hear others first, and then let Janet share hers with you, if you don't mind. I'm not being disrespectful. But I want to hear yours first and then let Janet share. Who spoke up and want to share where you've been in that situation?
That was just me, Cotton.
So, okay. Of course, when I got back to Kansas City, I came to help my family and make sure good, helping to bury my aunt and the whole nine. And a few of my family members, I just decided I didn't want no parts of. And so they decided to make up lies about me, stating I'm trying to steal my grandmother's house. Now you're calling me a thief, to the point to where, and then I'm going to have somebody beat up somebody. And it turned ugly, so I ended up getting punched in my face. And everything in me wanted me to go and beat the crap out of this person. My kids were ready to come down from every different places and bring friends, and their friends wanted to come down. Who hits your mom? Nobody hits your mom. Like, you know, it turned. I said, no, this is what we're going to do. We're going to put a protective order out to keep me away from her. What I wanted, but instead, and I could have taken her to court to make her pay for everything and then sue her for defamation at the same time. So not only did you put your hands on me, now I should, you know, do this other thing, but because you're my cousin's daughter, this is all I'm going to do right now. So, yeah, it can get, when this is why I'm so passionate about when you make up stories about people or when you say stuff and you don't know what you're talking about or you know, you're especially when somebody's character is what they live daily. My character is important to me. How I carry myself off of that. Don't lie on me. Don't call me a liar. Don't put me in a position of, you know, certain things. And so I get it. I wanted my you know, I'd rather not be physical, but if it has to get there to keep you at bay or to keep you, you know, but I chose the lighter side of handling things that I did. I didn't, because she was a young girl with two kids. I took that into consideration, and I didn't take her to court. Instead, I just said, stay away from me. I'm going to stay away from you, because if I don't, I'm going to hurt you. That's how I felt at the time. So, yeah, I've been there a few times.
Okay. Amen, amen, amen.
Okay. And so I want to see if Lady Justice is still there. Do you have something you want to share?
I'm still here. And you know what? It's funny that we talk about this today, because on Monday I'm going to file an ex parte. And I'll tell you why. For this last, ever since, I want to say maybe December, I have been tasked with handling someone else's business. Okay, now I didn't ask for it. It was just thrown in my lap. If it was, and I could handle it, I went ahead and did it. So as I'm taking care of houses and properties and cars of somebody else's, I have people that are saying, I'm stealing the money. I didn't kidnap this guy. I got him sitting somewhere and his kids are abusing him. Now, I, too, like Cotton, have built my character and my loyalty and who I am in Kansas City. And what I'm not going to do is let somebody tear that down by defaming my character. But this person has gone to several different lengths. Like, she didn't talk to me because I blocked her on Facebook. And when I block her from something, she goes to somebody else that I know. So now she's texting my husband and saying things to him. She sends pictures and says, hey, you know, the lights have been off at this building for 2 months, and God knows that hasn't happened. Where do people come up with all this stuff? And I am a very peaceful person. But at some point, we may get up in the street, and it's not going to look very good.
Okay, so I want to make sure I get... Well, I'm sorry to interrupt, but we got 20 minutes, but I want to ask this. Is that where, so just to get to the point, because we were talking about, as I said, you know, the millionaires who are in court now, that suing over millions, we can only sue each other over hundreds or thousands of dollars. And is it really worth it when you're dealing with a person who is attacking your character and you want to take them to court? Have you ever considered actually doing it, or have you looked at it where, you know, it's not really worth it, and this and that and the other? So I want to go ahead and let Janet
speak up before I close it out. But Janet shared with me a story of something. But again, I want to go back around the board and ask you ladies, have you ever considered following through, and why did you not follow through when you felt like someone decimated your character? Janet, the mic is yours.
Well, I'm going to say this first. I didn't have to follow through because someone took care of the problem for me. But throughout my life, and I'm like the ladies, I believe in being honest. My character means a lot to me. And the way I carry myself, I don't lie, cheat, steal. I don't do any of those things. So this was two incidences I'm going to talk about is work-related. Because I'm a high achiever and I always was able to shine at work, you make a lot of enemies. You have people that was laughing in your face and stab you in the back. I had people going around when I first came to Georgia and started working. They said I was stealing out of people's purses. And I couldn't for the life of me figure out why people were treating me like I had the black plague until I found out because someone got mad at somebody, and then they told me exactly what was going on. They went around telling people I had stole money from them, watch your back, and I mean, they were doing all this stuff. So when I found out exactly who it was, I went to the boss, the supervisor, and I told him that I was going to go to HR because that was defamation of character for somebody to drag my name through the mud like that. And I also approached these two people, and I told them what happened, and I knew who it was. And the next time I heard something, it was going to be on and popping. Those two women left the job and never came back. After that night, they never came back. So they were guilty. The other incident was I'm sitting here working next to somebody who's supposed to be a coworker and friend, and this lady was dipping and dabbing, sleeping with my husband, feeding him a bunch of garbage, and I didn't even know she knew him. But when I found out who it was and what was happening, I tried to get that little heifer to come in to work because I was going to beat her behind. She would not come in. After the third day, I was steaming. I went to the boss and said, I'm quitting. He said, oh, my God, why? And I told them. They sent her a Western Union telegram telling her she was terminated, not to even come back on that property. That's the only reason why I did not do something to her or take her to court, because the job fired her, and I didn't have to look in her face anymore.
Okay, so when it comes to
defamation
of character,
but when you know you're living a certain way and you try to be honest and trustworthy, and then you got somebody constantly behind you, stabbing you in the back, doing different things, that's very hurtful. So I will take somebody to court.
Okay. So, and I'm glad that you shared those stories. So my question again is, have you ever really, 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 I'm really posting this question to everyone who responded, really considered to doing it or taking someone to court, but then decided, no, it's not worth my time, it's not worth my money, you know, and everything, because it costs to take people to court, right? It does. I mean, there's different ways you can do it. You can have a lawyer write a letter and everything, make a threat letter. I call it threat letter to the person. But looking at where you're not suing for a large amount of money, which will pretty much cost you more money in court fees than what you might get in a court. So I want to go back to Cotton Campbell. Have you ever considered taking someone to court? And when you didn't, what made you change your mind, if that ever happened?
Yeah, I didn't take her to court because, again, this is my, and I had to pray about it. I promise you. I had to pray about it for months because I wanted to teach this young lady a lesson that you just can't go around putting your hands on people, because at the end of the day, what's going on between me and your mom didn't have anything to do with you. And her mom doesn't make her doesn't hold her accountable for her bad behavior. And this is what's wrong with some young people today. So that was the only reason why I didn't, because she has two kids, number one, and she already has a record. And she probably would have ended up in jail because I would have pushed for that. She would have had to pay all kinds of money. I would have pushed for that. The only reason why I didn't is bottom line. The only reason why I didn't is because she's family.
Okay. So that's the difference. All right. There's one of the key things. It's family. I follow you. Right. Okay. Interesting, because I want to make sure that we touch on this topic from time to time in a different, you know, way of looking at it. Lady Justice, if you're still here, same question. What made you not want to go ahead and follow through?
So far, nothing. But what would make me not want to follow through is, does the person actually have the money to pay me?
They have the money?
They might be causing problems with no money.
That's true.
And then I'm spending all my money in court and get a dime back. So those are things you have to look at as well.
That's interesting. Okay. I'm getting some good answers. I have an individual here on the board, and she has an open up her mic. She's part of the TMGS family. Wanted to see if she had a comment, but I know her. She's not going to jump in immediately, but hopefully she will in the future. But I'm glad that she chimed in to listen to what we're talking about. All you ladies have a good point, and this is a good thing about having respect and demanding respect. Sometimes folks will go overboard and put some allegations about you, about all of us, men and women, and it's hurting. It truly is. And you want to clarify that's not my character. And unfortunately, sometimes folks take what they hear as face value, right? They do. That's the sad situation that we're in now. And I hope that it won't continue. But if you can correct it, hopefully not spending a lot of money in court costs for something where you're not going to gain anything from, which I'm saying you're not a Johnny Depp. You're not suing for millions. You might spend $1,000 and the judge might only award you $500. So you have to think it over. All right, so we're going to take a quick music break, and then we're going to get out of here. I want all of you to go ahead and share your social media pages when we come back and everything. Next Saturday, we have a great show, as usual, lined up on the TMGN. And, in fact, an individual here that we're talking to, Ms. Cotton Campbell. Cotton, KC Campbell has an announcement for you. You don't have to do that, Cotton. So let's take a quick music break. We'll be right back to wrap it up here on the TMGN, the Michael Gay Network. We'll be right back. I love this song. Cotton brought this artist to me, and I love the song.
track status. Perfectly classic, it feels like it's magic. Don't mean to brag, but I swear you the baddest. Far from the average, I'm stuck like a habit. And you down for me? Ride around in the city trying to find a beach. Cause we stay kicking it. Yeah, when I leave, I'm missing it. Beautiful in every way, your love is so significant. Just like a model, a sign of perfection. Won over my heart, ain't no need for election. Perfect selection, I love our progression. Keep my head up every time that I'm stressing. Yeah, cause baby, you know me. Flow dope like a vein on some PCP. You make a brother fall back like a GED. I make you so hip-hop with the song and beat.
With beautiful creation. Welcome back to the TMGS, the Michael Gay Show, broadcasting live from the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. Janet, I see you're back. Yeah, your phone call dropped. Hey, want to say thanks to all of you ladies and gentlemen who have tuned in to the show. Cotton Campbell, I want you to go ahead and let folks know that we're working on something here where you're considering go ahead and having your own show on the TMGN.
Absolutely, absolutely, and we're super excited to be a part of the TMGN network. Yes, you have no idea. Let's talk about it. That is what we're going to be doing, talking about everything. So,
okay,
that's coming up in the next few months, you guys.
All right, so look forward to it. I believe we're looking at Thursday evenings around 5 p.m. Central Time, which will be 6 p.m. Eastern time, okay? So we're going to keep you posted on that. In fact, that artist right there, and by the way, the song is called Beautiful Creation. I love that song. And all you ladies and all you men too, every one of us are beautiful creations. And thank you so much for being here on the TMGS, the Michael Gay Show. I truly appreciate and love you. Janet, the lady of the house, you notice I didn't do the full name thing. But, you know, I did the Cotton Casey Campbell, you know, at the start of the show.
Yes,
but,
that's the best part.
So just want you to go ahead and we got 5 more minutes. What's your last comments on this Saturday show?
Well, I enjoyed the I have asthma, so I'm having a hard time right now, but I just enjoyed our conversation and everything and our topics, and sometimes it takes changing script and doing something different because it
right.
just makes things
better. Right. And Lady Justice, you still here? Lady Justice, are you there? I see her on the board, but she's probably not by her mom. Hello?
I'm here.
Okay. Oh, okay. And your final thoughts on the show and any information you want to share, go ahead and do it now, of how we can get in touch with what you do.
So closing information, the show was awesome. I love the topic. I love how we got to run through them and explain things. Hey, Cotton Campbell, best friend. I can't wait for that show to come on. I can be on there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. Hang up now.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of best friend is that?
That's funny. That's
I'm
funny.
Here. I'm here, best friend. I'm here.
Okay. You got my back. You were sounding way back for a second.
She said, Wow.
That was
and
funny.
Hopefully I'll join the network soon. So just wait to hear about that.
All right. Well, you know what? I have to say this before we go. We have about 3 minutes left. You know, I started this many years ago along with Janet Davis. I'm so thankful and appreciative of her, of the time that she puts in to our flyers, to our topics, to doing the research and everything. I'm so thankful to meeting all of you. I've never met you in person. Many of you, I've never met you in person. But I love the fact that you share and that you come on here. So with that being said, I look forward to the future of the TMGN, the Michael Gay Network. But, you know, it wouldn't be the TMGN if not for what you all do. Trust and believe. Got to have you here, okay? And love you dearly. All right. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Thank you for tuning in to the TMGN, the Michael Gay TMGS, the Michael Gay Show, and make sure you tune in to the Michael Gay Network when the new shows will be coming up. I'm going to leave out with one of our older theme songs that I used to love, Janet loved. So we're out of here. God bless. Peace.